We thank the Lord for the opportunity that he has given us to begin a new week of broadcasting the glorious gospel of our wonderful Savior. Last week on the broadcast, we started preaching from the book of 1 Peter. We got down through verse 5. So I hope that you will open your Bible now and that you will be looking with me at these scriptures word by word, sentence by sentence, as we determine what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through the Word of God. I hope you'll overlook the little huskiness in my throat today. I have that occasionally, but it'll not last too long, maybe. Now, I want you to look with me for just a moment before we begin to read at verse 6. I want you to notice that the introduction that we have finished last week is encouraging the saints of God that are scattered abroad. Now, that not only includes the Jewish Christians, but it includes those who have been saved by God's grace who are Gentiles as well. Now, the reason I say that is because there are three classes of people designated in the Bible. There's the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Now, the Apostle Peter knew that. The Apostle Peter knew that there was no difference between a Jewish Christian, one who had been born again and saved by the grace of God. He knew that there was no difference between him and the Gentile that was saved. You see, the nation of Israel was elect as a nation and chosen of God to be the nation through which our Lord Jesus Christ would come. And the church is chosen of God to be the bride of Christ. And at the present time, we are making up the body of Christ. And so everyone that has been saved since the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, the final and sufficient sacrifice, everyone that has been saved has become a member of the body of Christ. So the Apostle Peter could not be talking to just Christian Jews and the message go directly to them alone, because he knew they were a member of the body of Christ. But many of them were scattered. Well, not only were they scattered, but Christians of the Gentile nations were scattered because of their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is encouraging them in their loneliness here in these first five verses. He is encouraging them, and he finishes up by saying that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so we are set in the kingdom of God. We're set in the body of Christ, and we can rejoice in that without any problem whatsoever. We rejoice in the fact that we are set to be revealed in the last time as a member of that body of Christ. Now, verse 6 says, wherein, because of what I have just said, because of the facts that I have just given you, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Here he begins to enter into one of the main purposes of the writing of this letter. Now, this letter, of course, was dictated to him through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. I use the term dictated in the sense that the Holy Spirit told him what to write down, and he wrote it down in his own words. The Holy Spirit, I do not believe, used words that he did not understand, nor have him write down something that was not in his vocabulary. But at the same time, he was led and moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God to write exactly what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And he wrote primarily this book because the Christians were suffering such tremendous trials and temptations and loneliness as they were scattered throughout the world. And I've said before, and I repeat again today, the world does not like the Christian. The world does not like the born-again child of God. The world likes the hypocrite. The world likes the church member that's never been saved. The world likes the professor who claims to be a Christian but has never been born again. And that kind, of course, causes more problems in the kingdom of God and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other kind of person that the devil could possibly bring up. That person who claims to be saved takes a place of leadership in a church or a denomination and yet denies the truth of the Word of God. And when I say that, I mean all of the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. We're living in a day when men select what they want from the Scriptures. They formulate a doctrine upon it, and then if there is anything in the Bible that seems contrary to it, they make an effort to explain it away. And so the Lord used Peter here to write this letter to those who were under great trial and great tribulation. And he begins by saying, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now you've got something to rejoice about. It makes no difference how deep into despondency you go, how closely the relatives are that persecute you, how much punishment you have to take for the cause of Christ. And let me take just a moment to say this. He's talking about taking punishment, taking persecution for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not because of your foolishness. Just about every cult will tell you they are being persecuted by people because they believe like they do. Well, I've got news for you, my friend. If you are not persecuted for the gospel's sake, then you are persecuted for your ignorance's sake. And because you do not preach, you do not believe, you do not teach, you do not witness the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, according to the Word of God, and salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ, you're going to receive persecution. And that's what the word temptations means here. The word temptation means to be solicited to evil, which is not the use of it here, but to be tried for your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do be with us tomorrow, and we'll be looking to move right on through these verses.